and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Throughout World War II and for the rest of his life, Bob Hope went to the ends of the earth to entertain the troops. He appeared with the cast of his show wherever the fight was, in Europe and the South Pacific, and at bases and military hospitals all over the country through World War II. We have two half-hour shows this week, the first from 1942 with Bob Hope at Quantico Marine Base in Virginia near Washington, D.C., and the second in Jacksonville, Florida, at a base where the women's branch of the U.S. Navy, the Waves, trained. It was June of 1942, and the United States was mobilizing for World War II when Bob Hope took the Pepsodent Show to Quantico, Virginia, first broadcast June 2, 1942, on NBC.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. From the United States Marine Base at Quantico, Virginia, the Pepsodent Show starring Bob Hope.
Ah, thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Quantico Marine Base Hope. Telling you leathernecks to use Pepsodent and you'll never have teeth that would make a cow hide. Well, here I am at the Quantico Marine Base, and it was easy to find. I just drove down US 1 and turned left at the first crap game. Quite a few winners out there, and I want to tell you, you should see this base, and boy, are these Marines here healthy-looking and rugged. You should see the hair in their chest. I saw one Marine with so much hair in his chest, his girlfriend didn't send him a sweater. She came down to camp and knitted it right on him. Was that you, Mother? Huh? I've been staying in Washington, and you know whenever a big celebrity arrives, they have a big brass band at the station to meet him. Well, when I arrived, two chambermaids leaned out of a window at the Carlton Hotel and beat on a cuspidor. But Washington, D.C. is really a busy place right now. I've never seen such a busy place. Now I know what D.C. means. Darn crowded. Boy, what crowds. Whenever you walk along the streets, you have to worm your way through crowds of women going in the opposite direction. Of course, if you're not a worm, you can step to the right. Honestly, I've never seen such crowded streets. I was walking along in a thick crowd when the guy behind me burped and the guy in front of me fell down. And you should see the drugstores at lunchtime. To get a cheese sandwich, you have to have a priority. To get a ham sandwich, you have to have a drag with the war production board. And to get a glass of milk, you have to have a pull with a cow. It's certainly crowded in my hotel. I took a shower this morning, and I scrubbed my back for 10 minutes before I discovered it wasn't mine. And all you ever see in Washington these days are majors, colonels, and generals. One private sneaked into town the other day, and he broke his arm saluting. And Washington is crowded with subcontractors looking for defense work. You know what a subcontractor, that's anybody with two pieces of wood and a priority on a nail. I even know a pinball machine manufacturer is turning out a special pinball machine for the Air Force. When you hit 50,000, Jimmy Doolittle flies out of Shangri-La and Tokyo lights up. And they have an unusual type of traffic signal here in Washington. First it says pedestrians walk, then it says automobiles go, and when a woman driver comes along, it waves its arms, rings a bell, and a big neon sign lights up and says pedestrians and automobiles both climb something quick. I made it. And there are 8 times as many women as men, 8 girls to every fella. In fact, this is the first city I ever saw where if you hear a wolf howling, it isn't for a mate, it's for help. I had a very embarrassing accident yesterday. Somehow I spilled a whole bucket of glue all over me, and I didn't have time to change my clothes either because I had an appointment to go on a tour through the Treasury Building. But it's amazing how many people there are in Washington. In fact, there's so little space left, the Republican Party had to change their mascot to a gopher. And the Democratic donkey had to go on a 9-day diet. It's the first time any Democrat has been on a diet since the Hoover administration.
Hey. Come in, Larry.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Larry Keating. Say, aren't these Marines a swell bunch of guys? You know they come from all states of the Union?
From all states? Well, how do you know, Bob?
Well, yesterday at dance here, while the band was playing deep in the heart of Texas, I tried to cut in on a Marine from Missouri, and he gave me the Jersey bounce, and they had to carry me back to old Virginia.
Well, Bob, you know, you shouldn't have picked on a Marine from Missouri.
Well, tell me why, then.
Well, you know the old saying, people from Missouri have to be shown. And some of the smartest shoppers come from Missouri. They've got that good old skeptical Missouri show-me spirit. And Pepsodent tooth powder was just made for folks who like to be shown. You know, you can prove what I tell you about Pepsodent tooth powder. You can prove Pepsodent makes teeth sparkle and shine more beautifully than any other leading brand.
I'm from Missouri. How can I prove it?
Just use Pepsodent tooth powder regularly and look in your mirror. Pepsodent can make teeth so much brighter you can see the difference with your own eyes. How do I know? Independent laboratory tests have proved Pepsodent produces a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands. And then, to be doubly certain, these results were checked in everyday life. In the famous twin tests. You know, one twin of each set used Pepsodent, the other chose another leading brand of tooth powder. And in every single case, people could tell which twin had used Pepsodent because her teeth were twice as bright.
You mean Pepsodent made such a noticeable difference that people could tell the twins apart by their teeth?
That is right. So, get a package of Pepsodent tooth powder tonight and see how it brightens your smile. Gives you teeth that shine and sparkle, that are twice as bright.
And here's Francis Langford singing Skylark. Francis.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a journey over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your way. So if you see them anywhere, Won't you lead me there?
What do you hear from John? That was Francis Langford singing Skylark. Well, Francis, how do you like it here at the big Marine base at Quantico, Virginia?
Wonderful, Bob. While we're visiting Quantico, you're staying in Washington, aren't you?
Yes, Francis, I certainly got a big thrill at the wonderful reception. Did you see that parade the people had when they heard I was coming?
Yeah, they marched all the way to Baltimore and stayed there.
Oh, now, don't be silly. That's where the people of Washington live, in Baltimore.
Gosh, Washington is...
Say.
Washington is really crowded, isn't it? Did you finally get some place to sleep after we arrived?
Some place to sleep? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I got a place to sleep, friends. The first night I was there, I didn't sleep a wink and my back was almost broken.
It was?
Yeah, you know that Washington Monument comes to a point on the top. Tell me, Francis, what do you think about the men here at Quantico?
Ah, they're the type of men I just lie awake thinking about.
Yeah? Well, what about me?
Quiet, Ovaltine. Gee, these Marines are real he-men.
Oh, they aren't so tough. Yesterday, some Marine was with a beautiful blonde, and I kept winking at her. He looked over once, and I made believe there was something in my eye.
Was there?
What's that?
Was there?
Just his fist. You know... What a speedy are we? These Marines sure are lady killers, Francis. They love the girls. Too bad there's so few girls around here.
Why, Bob, what do you mean? Right over in Washington, there are 10 girls for every man.
Well, Francis, for a soldier, 10 girls is too much. For a sailor, 10 girls are just enough. But for a Marine, that's rationing. Did you ever hear anybody applaud themselves like that? Look at that.
Bob, I've been meaning to ask you, how can I tell the difference between sailors, soldiers, and Marines?
Oh, well, it's very simple for a pretty girl to tell the difference. You go over to a sailor, and the minute he sees you, he wants to kiss you. Then you go over to a soldier, the minute he sees you, he wants to kiss you. Then you go over to a Marine, if the minute he sees you, he starts to act shy and blush.
Yes?
Call a cop. The guy's an imposter.
By the way, Bob, how do you like the girls in Washington?
Oh, they're wonderful. Most of them are stenographers and they chew gum.
What's so good about that?
Well, when they kiss you, it's for the duration.
Bob, do you know the ratio of girls to men in Washington is almost 11 to 1?
Yeah, and you should have seen the 11 I got. They look like Notre Dame's first team.
It should have been easy for you to meet a nice girl here.
Well, I tried to.
What happened?
Well, every time I tried to get close to her, she moved away. It was just no soap.
How come?
No soap. but I like Washington. You know, my brother's making a lot of money here in Washington.
Doing what?
Smuggling in men from Philadelphia.
Oh, hello, folks.
Why, Bob, it's Vera Vague.
Well, Miss Vague, well... Welcome back to the show.
Oh, I'm not intruding, am I?
Oh, not at all. I'm glad you dripped in.
Now, don't try to get me into your union. look at all these Marines. Oh, I just love Marines.
Miss Vague, when we were at Army camps, you loved the soldiers, and when we were at Navy bases, you loved the sailors. Now that we're at a Marine base, you love the Marines.
Yes, affectionate old bat, ain't I?
All right. Now you can stop flirting with your boys.
Oh, well, maybe I did have a little light in my eye.
A little light? Nothing like that has been seen on the East Coast since they got the orders to dim out.
Oh, Mr. Hope, I'm so excited today. I'm all dressed up. Leather shoes, leather purse, leather... is a leather neck.
What makes you think you haven't got one?
When I hear you tell those jokes, I just have to laugh. It's in my contract.
Well, I suppose you're staying in Washington, Miss Vague.
Oh, yes, and I think Washington is wonderful. Have you seen all the sights?
I have now. You know, I have a lot of influential friends in Washington. A friend of mine is a senator.
A friend of yours is a senator? Well, then how come I haven't seen him around?
Well, he's been in hiding ever since they played the Yankees. But the city's really crowded right now, isn't it?
Yes, but I don't see why people say it's hard to find rooms in Washington. I walked into some house by accident, and they just begged me to stay. In fact, they didn't want to let me go.
Yeah, well, what was the name of the place?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. The Smithsonian something or other.
Say, you just got back from Hollywood, didn't you, Miss Vague?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I suppose you dropped in at Paramount. Tell me, do they miss me very much at Paramount?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Holt. They're shooting your next picture already.
They're shooting my next picture? Haven't they noticed I'm not there?
No, the director just sits there on the set and says something must be missing. I can't understand why we don't need the air conditioning anymore.
Oh, I wonder if Paramount redecorated my dressing room. I left definite instructions how I wanted it redecorated.
They couldn't do it the way you wanted it.
Well, why not?
Well, Mr. Petty says he's not used to painting them any bigger than magazine size.
Skinny and a singing breathless. All right, Skinny.
I'm a picture of perfect health, normal as can be. Though I'm short on material wealth, it doesn't bother me. I'm always sure each bridge is burned behind. I find it pain. But baby, my, where you're concerned, I'd like to know what plays. Take my breath away. My castles are all in a heap. I've got you right where you want me. Baby, you walk in my sleep. I take you for a little walk, and I'm the guy that likes to talk. You leave me on the porch, and then I wind up with the torch for every single time that I'm inclined to tell you what is on my mind. I'm darned if I don't find I'm breathless.
Good old Skinny Anderson and Breathless from the boxing of the same name.
Say, Larry, what would you nominate as number one pain in the neck? Sheets that come out at the foot of the bed? Coffee that's cold? Or maybe a droopy toothbrush that goes limp on your teeth?
Well, if it's toothbrush troubles you're having, I can tell you how to end them quick. Just get a Pepsodent 50-tuff toothbrush, and you'll find it's a pleasure to brush your teeth, even the first time you use it. The 50 tufts of springy nylon bristles are gentle, but because they are united, they're strong. They're kind to your gums, and yet they stay alive. Don't go limp on your teeth. And with 50 tufts, twice as many tufts as any other brush in a small, compact head, you discover the extra pleasure of double-power cleansing.
You're right, Larry, and talk about value. Just listen to this. With every Pepsodent toothbrush, you get a cash certificate worth 10 cents extra spending money. Pay the same price as always, and packed right in the sealed glass container is a cash certificate you can use like a dime for anything in the store costing 10 cents or more.
Yes, friends, get a Pepsodent 50-tuff toothbrush for each member of your family to protect their attractive smiles. And with each brush, you'll get a 10-cent cash certificate, a Pepsodent bonus for you.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Washington, our nation's capital, has witnessed the arrival of many world-famous figures, but nothing to compare with the greeting given our own Bob Hope as our hero steps off the train. There are many national celebrities at the station ready to extend a greeting to the new visitor, and Bob Hope is thrilled beyond words, amazed at such recognition. Congressmen, representatives, and even a senator step up to welcome him with these ringing words.
Psst, want to buy some gas, bud?
But now that Bob Hope has arrived in Washington, he decides to spend a day of happy sightseeing. Yes, there are thousands of wonderful things in Washington, but it seems they all have dates. In Bob's journeys, he visits the Lincoln Memorial. Thinking of all the wonderful presidents we've had, Bob Hope looks up at Lincoln and says,
"Gee, what a man."
And Lincoln looks down at Bob Hope and says,
"Gee, what a ham."
Bob, like millions of other Americans, has read about Washington throwing the silver dollar across the Potomac. That day, he says...
Ha ha, must be just a story.
That night, he says...
Keep looking, Skinny. It must have landed here someplace.
Of course, crowded though Washington is, a big star like Bob Hope has no difficulty in getting fine hotel accommodations. And now we find Bob and Skinny Ennis in their hotel room. Skinny looks around the sumptuous suite that Bob has rented and says happily,
"Gee, what a dump." "Why, Skinny, one of the finest hotels in the whole city of Washington is the Biltmore Arms."
"Yeah, but what's the name of this place?"
"The Crushmore Legs." "Boy, they really crowd you into these rooms in Washington. I never saw so many guys in one room before. Look at all those fellas in bed. They're laying one on top of another, and they're all reading."
"Yeah, shucks, Bob. How can that whole stack of them be reading?"
"Oh, they have it all worked out. The top man's got a detective story at the end of a yo-yo." "Boy, this hotel is really crowded."
"What makes you think so, Bob?"
"Well, look at that picture of Whistler's mother on the wall. She's standing and getting $5 a day for a rocking chair."
"Yeah, it's really crowded in here."
"Pardon me. Pardon me."
"What's the matter with you?"
"I'm looking for a place to fall down. It's awful crowded in here. Hand me that phone."
"Well, who are you going to call?"
"Room service." "Hello, room service. Send me up a room."
"If that works, I'm going to call maid service. Hey, Skin. I think I hear the landlady."
"Anyone in there? Anyone in there? Come calm, I hear breathing."
"Well, I guess I'll have to confess. I'm in here. Skinny Ennis."
"I could have sworn I heard breathing." "Now, come on, open that door. This is the landlady. I'm going to put you out of your room. Your hour is up." "I want my rent."
"Well, I paid you the rent yesterday."
"The money you gave me was counterfeit."
Well, you always mix money up in your pocketbook. How do you know it was me that gave you the counterfeit stuff?"
"Well, on the $5 bill, Lincoln is coming out of the White House, not going into a drugstore to buy Pepsodent." "Bye now. I'll come back for my money later."
"Gee, Skin, I think we're going to lose our room if we don't pay that rent. But don't worry, I've got a very influential friend here in Washington in the Office of Price Administration, Leon Colonna. He can get us a priority on a room if anyone can. I'll call him up at his office."
"Hello, OPA."
This is Bob Hope calling.
OPU.
"Colonna, listen, I want you to get me a room in Washington."
"Oh, never mind that. I've got great news for everybody who uses gasoline. I've just finished building a pipeline from California to Washington."
"A pipeline from California to Washington? But, Colonna, where'd you get all that steel tubing?"
"What do you mean, steel tubing? I use soda straws."
"Colonna, you'll never be able to pipe gasoline from California that way."
"Oh, no, get your gas tanks ready. California's sending the first stuff through right now. Here it comes." "What do you know? Orange juice."
"Say, Colonna, tell me the truth. What are you doing in Washington?"
"Oh, I'm with the Office of Facts and Figures."
"The Office of Facts and Figures?"
"Yes."
"How dare you?"
Yes, I got the wrong fact about that figure.
Ah, Bob, that Leon Colon will never get us another room.
Shh, Skin, I think I hear the landlady coming back.
I'm here for the rent. I know you're in there. I'm looking through the keyhole.
What's that?
You promised to give it to me.
Hand me that seltzer bottle. I'll squirt the seltzer at her.
Okay, I'll give it to you. How's that?
Fine. Now squirt the scotch. Now, how about my rent?
We've decided not to pay you any rent at all.
In that case, I'll have you both thrown out of this room bodily, including the one without the body.
Now, wait a minute, woman. Don't you go starting up with me, see? I'm a dangerous character, see? I'm Bruiser Innes, and I'm tough. Why, I'm so tough, I'll beat up my own grandmother.
You would?
Sure, who else could I lick?
Oh, don't fight with the landlady, Skin. I'll call Leon Colon again and see if he can do anything for us.
Hello?
Hello, is this you, Professor?
Party line.
Look, Colonna, I want you to help me get a room. You've got influence in Washington, haven't you?
Influence? Of course I've got influence. After all, I'm in charge of the tire rationing.
That's right. Say, how about selling me one of those tires? I'll give you $5.
Why, Hope, how can you say such a thing? I couldn't do that. Why, I'm as honest as the day is long.
Well, I'll give you $50.
Got dark quick, didn't it?
Say, Professor, you wouldn't really do a thing as illegal as that, would you?
Oh, of course not, Hope. I'm on the side of the law. Right now, I've got to look over some records here which were collected by the FBI. These records contain the names of unpatriotic people who hoard things. Listen to this one. This man has 18 new tires, 4,000 gallons of gasoline, and 10,000 pounds of sugar, and his name is Professor Colonna.
Colonna, that's you. Have you got all those tires and that gasoline and sugar?
Ah, yes. I've been a busy little bee, haven't I?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob, come on. Colonna promised to get us a good room. Now all we have to do is settle our troubles and sneak out of this hotel so we won't have to pay the landlady a rent.
Okay, I'm always agreeable to an honest proposition. Look, it's only 2 stories to the ground from our window. We'll jump it.
All right. First, I'll toss down our luggage. Now, here I go. Doggone it, the wind's blowing me to Baltimore. Hey, well, I made it. Now, come on, Bob. I'll catch you. Jump down to my arm. Okay. I got myself all braced up. Come on, now. 1, 2, 3, jump! Man, keep digging for me. I'm down here somewhere.
For the memory of leather-necked Marines and all your spirit means to whip the nip on land or ship on you the nation leans. And thank you so much. Oh, thanks for the memory. Traditions of this corps prove you can fight a war. You storm the heights and bring in sight the rights you're fighting for. And thank you so much. Say, we want to take just a moment to thank General Smith, Colonel Churchill of Toledo, Ohio, my home state, and all the other officers and men here at Quantico for the grand time they've shown us while here at the base. Good luck, Private Philip Hughes, and you other boys there at the hospital. It's your kind of spirit that makes us all proud to be Americans. We'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen, at the same time broadcasting from Camp Upton, New York. And with us as our special guest will be my favorite blonde, lovely Madeline Carroll, and, of course, all our regular gang. So until then, good night, folks.
Tonight was for the entertainment of the Marine personnel and does not necessarily constitute an endorsement of our product by the Marine Corps. Larry Keating speaking. This broadcast came to you from Quantico, Virginia. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have a really charming show from World War II with Bob Hope entertaining the women of the Navy, then called Waves, in Jacksonville, Florida. You can hear the high spirits and pride in the audience of women who are finally allowed to contribute to the war effort as service members. They would go on to prove themselves and pave the way for equal opportunity in the service today. Enjoy the Bob Hope Show from Jacksonville, Florida, first broadcast May 9th, 1944 on NBC. This is an AFRS rebroadcast.
The Bob Hope Show, a special rebroadcast for the American Armed Forces and their allies with Jerry Colonna, Vera Veig, Francis Langford, Stan Kenton's orchestra, and Bob Hope.
Thank you. Where do I join up? Well, here I am with a thousand beautiful waves. You know what a wave is? That's a sailor with a flirtation walk. You know that walk the sailors have where they roll from the shoulders? Well, the waves have the same walk with a follow through. The waves here are really pretty, though. In fact, you don't have to take a back seat for Betty Grable, but they don't mind it if there's a sailor in it. And every girl here is trained to replace a man. The one I was out with in Miami last night must have been training to replace Boris Karloff. I found out she was an instructor. She must have been. She knew all the answers. And they tell me they used to have a woman bugler here, but they have to cut it out. Every time she puckered, 20 naval aviators came in on the beam. Did you all play the bugle? And a lot of these waves cut their hair real short. At a distance, they're like a man. When you get close, they're like a woman. And if you get too close, they're like a man again. The first wave casualty of the war was reported yesterday. One of the girls bent over to tie her shoe in the doorway of the barracks, and the telephone rang. You should see these girls make a dash when the phone rings. When it rings. Yesterday, a soldier called and said, "Hello, Mary." And the wave who answered said, "You'll have to talk louder. She's on top of the pile."
Summer day withers away too soon, too soon. Be gone when you speak up. A moment is swift, like ships adrift. We're swept apart too soon. Be gone, darling, speak low. Love is a spark lost in the dark. Too soon, too soon, I feel, wherever I go, that tomorrow is near, tomorrow here, and always too soon. And love so dream. Love made love to the anthem. Won't you speak to me of
Now, I want you to meet a man who's done a great job recruiting waves. Professor Colonna. Colonna? Oh, Professor Colonna.
1 minute, Hope. I'm over here signing up a new recruit.
Say, how long have you been recruiting waves, Professor?
Oh, about 20 years.
Oh, that's impossible. The waves are only 2 years old.
2 years old?
Yes.
Yeah, big for their age, aren't they?
Well, is the Navy satisfied with your results, Colonna?
Well, they should be. You know, I even got Gypsy Rose Lee to join.
You signed up Gypsy Rose Lee. Well, do you think she'll be a good, able-bodied seaman?
You're kidding, of course. Ah, but the waves are attracting a lot of interest, Hope. The other day, Frank Sinatra came down to look over the recruiting office.
What happened?
Nothing. He couldn't pass the physical.
That's really too bad, because Crosby could have used the allotment. Say, who else have you signed up, Colonna?
Well, my father. He just tried to join the waves.
Your father tried to join the waves? That's ridiculous. If your father joined the waves, then that means that he's the only man in the waves area.
Wonderful setup, isn't it?
I don't blame you for liking these waves, Professor. They certainly have a sparkle in their eye, don't they?
Well, they're pretty excited. You know, Hope, it isn't every day they catch a couple of peepee toms looking into their buttocks.
It isn't? That's only the straight line, you know. It isn't every day, huh?
No, I guess we just had hard luck.
Colonna, are you accusing me of being a peeping Tom?
Of course not, Hope. You're no peeping Tom. You're more of a squinting Harry.
Yeah. Say, Colonna, did you ever hear strange voices and feel as though you're being hurled through space?
Yes. A lot of fun parking in Oriental Gardens, ain't it?
Colonna, you know, you have a head like an imbecile.
Well, that's convenient. Then we can wear each other's hat.
Colonna, did you really go out for it with a wave?
Yes, Hope. I asked her for a kiss.
You asked a wave for a kiss?
Yes. Now, you know the slogan, the Navy comes through?
Yes.
It's a lie. And here's Francis Langston's boyfriend right here.
Ducks and geese better scurry when you take me out in the Surrey. When you take me out in the Surrey with a fringe on top.
Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high step and strutters. Nosy pokes will peek through their shutters and their eyes will pop.
The wheels are yellow, the upholstery is brown, the dashboard genuine leather.
With eyes and glass curtains, you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather.
Two bright side lights winking and blinking, ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking.
You can keep your rig if you're thinking at a chair to swap.
For that shiny little Surrey with a fringe on the top.
Gee, Robert, it's wonderful riding home in the moonlight like this.
Yes, well.
Robert, stop breathing in my ear.
I will in a minute. I think I got a fly trapped in there.
Robert.
Yeah, Francie.
Robert, my mother and father gave me permission to get married. What do you say?
Sure, go ahead. You know, my ma says if a girl got less than 16 petticoats, she ain't decent, and I shouldn't have any dates with her. How many are you wearing?
Oh, Robert, I'm sorry. I'm only weighing 12.
Want to go steady?
Say, you go out with a lot of girls, don't you?
Yep, I'm the local swan.
No, you mean swain. A swan is something that's noted for its long neck.
I'm the local swan.
Robert, you look nice tonight. What you got on your hair?
Peanut butter.
Gee, why do you put peanut butter on your hair?
Oh, it comes in handy in case I feel like a sandwich.
Gee, and that's a nice suit you're wearing, too.
Yeah, my mom made it out of one of her old dresses.
Well, why is it so tight?
Ma's still in it.
How are things over at the farm, Robert?
Mighty cold.
What makes you think things are so cold?
Well, I spent 3 hours milking a cow this morning, then found out it was just a horse with goose pimples.
What happened to your cow, Bossy?
Oh, we're having a lot of trouble with Bossy, Fancy. She's got too much iron in her blood.
She's got too much iron in her blood?
Yeah, she's the only cow we ever had who can give milk and make her own pail at the same time.
Robert. Oh, Robert.
Yeah, Fancy.
You want to kiss me?
What for? My lips ain't chapped.
Well, I don't think you've ever kissed a girl.
Sure, kissed one last night.
And did you kiss hard?
See my tooth front teeth?
No.
That'll give you an idea. But you won't let me. Can't talk with two front teeth in this. But you won't go out with me anymore.
Why not?
Because I got too fresh.
You got too fresh?
Yeah, we were sitting in the back of the buggy, and you know what I did?
What?
Snapped my suspenders at her. Oh, but I didn't like her anyhow. She was too countrified for me.
What makes you think that?
She snapped her suspenders right back at me.
Gee, Robert, let's go someplace and have some fun.
Okay, but let's do something different. Let's do something exciting. Something gay. Let's go down to the corner drugstore.
No, let's park for a while.
Okay.
Gee, isn't that a beautiful Florida moon?
Yeah, is that the same moon they got in California?
Yes, Robert, no matter where you are, you see the same moon. But you're smart, Robert.
Yep, in school I always got 100%.
You must have had something on the ball.
No, I've had something on the teacher. Gee, honey, I'm crazy about you. You're so nice and cuddly, I could neck with you all night. Gee.
Robert, put away that rabbit and pay some attention to me. Anymore, Robert.
Why not?
You've been going out with waves.
Well, what makes you think I've been going out with waves?
Well, you've got lipstick on your collar and it's shaped like an anchor.
Your waves.
Gee, Robert, don't you think I'm as cute as the waves?
Well, you got nice dimples.
Dimples? What's a dimple?
That's a pucker that went AWL. Oh, we've been riding a long time, Franny. Better stop at this horse trough.
Robert, you sure were thirsty.
The sun is swimming on the rim of the hill. The moon is taking a header.
And just as I'm thinking all the earth is still, a lark will wake up in the meadow.
Hush, you bird, my baby's a-sleeping. Maybe got a dream worth a-keeping.
Whoa, you team, and just keep a-creeping at a slow clip-clop.
Don't you hurry with the surrey with a fringe on the top.
And here's Tony Romano, and this is a lovely evening. Come on, Tony, boy.
This is a lovely way to spend an evening. Can't think of anything a garden, a kiss by a lazy lagoon, catching a breath of moonlight, humming a favorite tune. This is a lovely way to spend an evening.
Cast have had a wonderful time here with the Waves at Jacksonville Naval Air Station. And now before Bob leaves the lovely state of Florida, he decides to look around for something to take back and show the folks in California.
Hiya, babe.
He keeps looking. Yes, this has been a great visit, but while this state is really a tropical paradise, there are some things in Florida that are definitely on the fantastic side.
Yeah, Mr.
Well, it's very big.
You've seen our audience, Miss Vague, this week? They're all girls.
Yes, nice breathing spell, isn't it?
Miss Vague, have you seen some of the sights in Jacksonville?
Oh, yes, Mr. Hope. I spent all day yesterday on the sightseeing bus.
Well, did you go very far?
No. The driver kept pushing me off his lap.
You have quite a glint in your eye tonight, Miss Vague. You've been doing very well down here, haven't you?
Oh, wonderfully, Mr. Hope. I was out myself on the beach last week, and a handsome naval aviator came over and buried me in the sand.
Well, that sounds very romantic. Did he try to see you again?
No. I waited 3 or 4 days. Nothing happened, so I finally dug my way out.
Well, Miss Vega, I bet you think of men 365 days of the year.
Oh, no, Mr. Hope. This is leap year, 366.
Well, Miss Vega, look, when you're out with one of these native Florida men, how do you get him to kiss you?
Oh, I don't know. I just snuggle up on his shoulder and say, whack a smacker on me, cracker. You know, I'm getting to be a regular cracker myself, aren't I?
You look like the whole barrel.
Bless your heart, Peninsula yeah. Puss. Oh. You know, that was such a lovely gesture to Florida you made when you arrived, draining the water on your brain and putting an orange juice. Mr. Hope, come here.
Uh-huh.
Will you tell me, is there really a fountain of youth here in Florida?
Oh, of course. Why, when you went to school, didn't you read your history?
No, there was a handsome boy in the next seat, and I was too busy making it.
Well, how would you like to find the fountain of youth, Miss Vague?
Well, I tell you, it wouldn't be very difficult. I went out looking for it this morning, and the people around here told me what path to follow. They made me so mad.
Well, how could they make you mad, Miss Vague, telling you how to get to the Fountain of Youth?
Well, they pointed to it before I asked them anything. I think the whole thing's a lot of nonsense.
Oh, it isn't, Miss Vague. Why, only last week my grandmother drank a glass of water out of the Fountain of Youth.
Well, did it make her young?
Well, I don't know if it made her young or not, but this morning my grandfather sued for a divorce and named Henry Aldrich as correspondent.
Try it, Mr. Hope. Do you think it'll bring back all my curves?
Miss Vague, this is the Fountain of Youth, not the Miracle of Morgan's Creek.
Well, perhaps I ought to try some of that water from the Fountain of Youth. For curiosity, of course.
Well, they broadcast on the radio every day. Let's turn it on and find out how to get there.
All right.
Ponce de Leon Colonna's Fountain of Youth is on the air. Waves, do you want to stay young? Do you want to live longer? Do you want to keep healthy? Well, here's the professor to tell you how to do it.
Stay off the Jacksonville bus.
Oh, nothing like a good local, is there?
Huh? Girls, are you married to some rich guy who's too old for you? Well, give him one drink of this water. We'll split the insurance. Remember, folks, rush right down here to the Fountain of Youth. Only a small fee per glass, and if it makes you too young, don't worry. We furnish transportation home and free diapers. Now, here's how to get there, folks. Take Route 23 and go out 1 mile. Then turn right, then left, right, left, right, left. What do you know? I've been drafted.
Thing. Let's go to the Fountain of Youth.
All right, but it's way out in the middle of the Florida swamps.
Say, just what is a Florida swamp?
Well, that's where the California rain spends the winter.
Oh, goodness, it's a long way through this swamp, Mr. Hope. Do you want to change places and let me row for a while?
Oh, I wouldn't think of it, Miss Vague. The gentleman always does the rowing.
All right, but I'm getting awfully tired swimming ahead with this rope in my teeth. Running through the swamp.
Chloe, Chloe. Come on, Chloe. I ain't got time to fool around.
Well, who's that?
That's a sailor with a 4-hour liberty pass.
You'll find time to fool around.
Yeah, there it is. Look, there's Professor Kolona. Step right up, folks, and get some youth-giving water from the Fountain of Youth.
Is this good stuff, Kolona?
Of course, Hope. It's great stuff. One drink and you'll rave for a wave.
Well, what happens if I take two drinks?
You act like a petty officer. I drink this water myself, Hope, and now I'm in perfect physical condition. In fact, I can touch my toes without bending over.
You can touch your toes without bending over? How is that?
Keep forgetting to cut my fingernails.
Kolona, why were you ever born anyway?
No, I guess the stock was behind in this quarter.
Professor, they say you look a year younger for every cup of this water you drink. Now, how much would you prescribe for me?
Miss Vague, to save both time and your time, may I suggest a fire hose?
Well, Miss Vague, here's the Fountain of Youth. Are you going to drink?
Oh, Professor, do you think it'll make me young enough so I can join the wave?
Why, certainly. Just take a drink from the well. That's it. Lean over and you can see the water way down there.
Oh, this will be wonderful. I do so want to join the wave.
Yes, well, now lean over a little further. Just a little further.
She joined him.
Thank you.
Broadcast especially for you soldiers, sailors, marines, and coast guardsmen of the United Nations. Now, Stan Kenton, Bob's music master, steps up baton in hand to lead his orchestra in a musical after show. Okay, Stan, take over. Broadcast is a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.